Family, it's great to see you here today. I'm going to go over a few announcements before we get started with our worship time today. Don't forget, we have classes tonight at 5 p.m. Adult class meets here in the auditorium, teen class in room 109, and our family Bible class for our children's ministry and their parents meets across the street in the family center. So I'd love for you to join us tonight at 5 for those classes. This week, it'll be a little bit earlier than what we're used to, but Night of 100 Casseroles is this Thursday, November 19th. As always, we need your help and assistance on that. You guys really, really showed up for us last month, so we've got a lot to live up to. What was it, Lee? How many did we have last month?
178.
All right, so we want to be able to change the name to a Night of 200 Casseroles at some point. That would be a great thing. But we have been so impressed by you guys and the way that you keep showing up to be a part of that. So look forward to this Thursday and the ways that you have to serve our community. Next Sunday, November 22nd, at 6 p.m., there'll be the Community Thanksgiving Service. It's going to be over at First Baptist Church. Wayne Hancock from the Cross Timbers Church of Christ will be doing the message that evening. So if you guys can come out to that, I know that they would enjoy for you to be there. Also, we're going to take part in the Light Up Stephenville Parade. That's on Saturday, November 28th. At 6:30 p.m. There's a clipboard and a sign-up sheet in the back. If you and your family want to be a part of that, we're basically just going to have a little trailer float that's going to go through. It's going to be nice and Christmas lighted up so that we can go through and just celebrate as we get ready to jump into the Christmas season here. So if that's something you want to do, sign up on that, and we'll have more information as we get closer here in the next couple of weeks. This morning, as we get started, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3 today. And this morning, I want to start out with verses 8 through 11. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for the love and the mercy that you have for us. And Father, it's not something that we often look forward to, but Father, we are called to suffer sometimes. And Father, it's difficult to go through. It's difficult to see others go through. But Father, we know that by having faith in you, that you deliver us. And Father, we ask that the suffering that we do endure, Father, that it can be to glorify your name, so that those in this world who don't know you can see us and say, there's a joy that lives in them, even through suffering, even through struggles, even through trials. Father, we're thankful for this day we have to be joined together, for this group of people that is here together as a family to worship you. Father, open up our hearts today. Help us to sing out to you. Father, help us to remember the sacrifice that you've made for us that allows us to one day be with you for all eternity. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Okay, let's all be standing as we sing these first three songs. We'll sing them as a medley, and then we'll have another prayer.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, upon us, set us free by the truth, bring us, shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on grace and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter. Purge me, try me, consume darkness, shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire, flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Sing aloud to God, make a people shout before his throne. Hallelujah. Sing aloud to God, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise his name. From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise his name. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. God is so good. God to me.
Our Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing upon us this morning. As we lift our voices in praise to you and acknowledge your goodness and grace, we pray, Father, that the words that we speak, the songs that we sing, the prayers that we raise will acknowledge that we are but your servants, humble in your sight, and only by your grace are we of any right to be able to say what we say this morning. May your peace be upon us and may our love abound. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, let us come to know you. Let us see you face to face. Touch us, hold us, use us, mold us. Stands a rock on shores of time that brings to heaven its head sublime. That rock is cleft, and they are blessed who find within this cleft a rest. Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand, some on their fame or their treasure or their land. Minds on the rock that forever shall stand, Jesus, the rock of ages. That rock's across its arms outspread, celestial glory bathes its head. To its firm base my all I bring, to the cross of ages cling. Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand, some on their fame or their treasure or their land. Minds on the rock that forever shall stand, Jesus, the rock of ages. That rock's a tower, its lofty height, illumined with heaven's unclouded light. Opes wide its gates beneath the dome, where saints find rest with Christ at home. Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand, some on their fame or their treasure or their land. Minds on the rock that forever shall stand, Jesus, the rock of ages.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody. Thank you, Doug, for that great leading of us in song. We appreciate that. If you weren't with us last week, let me do just a brief review of what we said last week. We looked at the first part of Philippians chapter 3, and we talked about Paul's past. And he also dealt with those who we call the Judaizing teachers, those who come into the church and try to say that the Gentiles can't be Christians unless they go back and they keep the Old Testament law. And Paul's trying to make a point in saying that, you know, if we rely on our flesh, if we rely on this world to bring us to a right relationship with God, then we're hopelessly lost. And we can't put our confidence in the flesh. We have to put our confidence in Christ. So that's what we're going to talk about this week. Last week we talked about how disappointing and discouraging and hopeless it is to put our confidence in the flesh. Today we're going to talk about having our confidence in Christ Jesus. So Paul said in verses 7 and 8 that everything of his past that he felt like was something that he put confidence in, he now considered it as garbage compared to knowing Christ. But it's interesting to use that terminology. He did not say that he compared his confidence in the flesh to garbage in reference to salvation, or that he's going to go to heaven someday, or any number of things he could have said. He points to the idea of knowing Christ, that in comparison to knowing Christ, all that I put my confidence in, I consider now as rubbish. What does it mean to know Christ? What is the idea behind using that term instead of something else? I want to suggest that it goes back to the Old Testament way of using the word knowing. In the Old Testament, you would use this term for the intimate relationship between a husband and wife. It wasn't just academic knowledge. It wasn't just having a relationship with someone. It dealt with the idea of having an intimate relationship, like it's used in the Old Testament for that husband and wife relationship. And Paul is saying that when I think about the relationship that I have with Christ now, I considered all of my past as worthless. This fits an idea that we find in Jesus' teaching. For example, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, Jesus said, "And whoever takes up his cross, who is not willing to take up his cross and follow me, is not worthy of me. And whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Or in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So I want you to think about how John uses this term of knowing God. There are several passages in the book of John that deals with the idea of knowing God and how you might know him through Jesus Christ. To begin with, there's this idea of knowing Christ through the Word. In fact, when you begin the book of John, Jesus is introduced to us as the Word of God. That Jesus came into this world, he was God. He was with God, and he left that place to come into this world and become flesh, so that he could show us God in the flesh. But he goes on to say, for example, in John chapter 5, in verse 39, he said, "You know, you search the scriptures to find life, but what you will find in the scripture is me. It testifies to me." The Word is where you can come to know Jesus. You also understand that the book of John is written to tell people that Jesus is real, that he is really who he claimed to be. At the end of John chapter 20, in verses 30 and 31, John said, "These things are written that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and by believing in him you may have life." He was writing the Word, the Scripture, so that we might know him. Jesus said that it's through the Word that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. So the whole idea that we can come to know Jesus intimately begins with the Word. But also in John, we find that Jesus said that, "I want you to know me as the shepherd." And in explaining that in John 10, he said that he is the good shepherd. And he knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. They hear his voice, and they respond. And Jesus knows those who claim to know him. There's an intimate relationship by knowing Jesus as a shepherd. In John 13, Jesus said he wants us to know him as a servant. He does this by washing the apostles' feet. And he said, if you know me as your master, and if I, your master and teacher, have washed your feet, then you need to serve one another in the same way that I have served you. He goes on to say, and they'll know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another. Jesus also wants us to know him as the way, the truth, and the life. He says this in John 14 in a comforting way. He says, you know, some bad things are about to happen. He's talking about his death. But he says, I want you to not be troubled. And he talks about how that in his Father's house, there are many rooms and there is a place for you prepared there. And where I'm going, I will come again and receive you unto myself that you may be where I am. And then they begin to question him about that and say, well, what are you talking about? Show us the Father. And he says, have you been with me all this time and you don't realize that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? And Jesus is saying, you need to know me as the representation of the Father. You need to know me as the way to the Father. For there I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus wants us to know him as the vine, as we're the branches. And the branches cannot have life in them unless they stay connected to the vine. And Jesus says, I want you to know me. At one point, I called you servants, but now you're my friends because we have that kind of close relationship. And if you keep my word and show your love for me by obeying my commandments, then you're my friends. We have this close relationship and we keep our connection with the vine. But one of the places that I see that Jesus really emphasizes this idea of knowing him is in John chapter 17, where he's praying to the Father about the apostles, but he's also praying for us who will believe on the word of the apostles. And he says, by our unity with one another, by our understanding the unity that we have with each other, we have a deeper relationship with Jesus and understand him. If you have your Bibles, you may want to look in John 17, verses 1 through 5. Jesus spoke these words, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he began to pray. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given me authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given to him, this is eternal life, that they may know you as the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Now skip down to verse 20, John 17, 20. I do not ask for these only, talking about his apostles, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, in me and I in you, and that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, and they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love which you have loved me with may be in them and I in them. This idea of knowing Christ is an intimate relationship of growing closer and closer to Jesus, starting with coming to know him through the Word of God, but it goes much deeper than that. to where we begin to live with the voice of Jesus living inside of us through the Holy Spirit, that we might be one with Him and one with the Father in our relationship with Him. So I think it's important that we try to understand that when Paul is saying in Philippians 3 that we need to be knowing Christ, that everything that we put our fleshly confidence in is garbage compared to knowing Christ. He's not just saying academically knowing Him or knowing facts about Him or even knowing that I've obeyed Him. The Lord wants us to have a relationship with Him that's intimate. And that intimacy of our relationship is one that comes by growing deeper and deeper and closer to the Lord. So let's go back to the question. How do we know Jesus? I want to take you back to Philippians 3 now with that introduction out of John. I want you to think about how do we intimately know Jesus according to this passage in Philippians 3. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 7, reading through verse 21. Philippians 3, 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as lost for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes by faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, may God reveal it to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even in tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame, with their mind set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. So what, according to Philippians 3, does it mean to know Christ? Let me just highlight some of the things we just read. To know Christ means that I share in the power of His resurrection. And one day I will share in His resurrection from the dead. I believe there's a difference between understanding and knowing the power of the resurrection now and in someday actually being resurrected from the dead. I think Paul is talking about the transformation that can take place in our lives from being sinners who our focus is on the earth, is on the flesh, is on the confidence of what we have and what we can gain on ourselves and on the world that we live in, into being a confidence in Christ Jesus. A confidence in Christ so that we know that we're more than conquerors in this world and in the world to come. The power of the resurrection is to be ours now. And someday, when we're dead, the bodies will rise again, and that power would become real in the resurrection when Jesus comes back. But we can experience the power of the resurrection before our death by living by the transformational power that changes us from being sinners into being holy and forgiven in the sight of God. Secondly, in this passage in Philippians 3, verses 7 through 21, I believe it means that we share the suffering of Christ. Knowing Christ means that we need to understand more about how Jesus suffered and his willingness to suffer. One of the things that we miss sometimes in the way that we talk about Christ is that we look at Christ as something that makes our lives better. In fact, our selling point oftentimes in preaching the gospel is to convince people that they can have a better life because they have a life with Christ. But realize that we miss the point if we make it sound like, hey, when you become a Christian, everything in your life is just going to be great. It's going to be so wonderful. You need to be a Christian because your life is going to be so much better. Your life is going to be better, but maybe not in the ways that sometimes people think. In fact, your life may have even more suffering as a Christian than what you would have had if you chose not to be a Christian. Because part of living in this real world until the end, until Jesus comes back, is experiencing the suffering of Christ or coming to know the suffering of Christ. Paul said, I consider confidence in the flesh is garbage compared to knowing Christ. And one of the things that Paul says that we need to know about Christ is to know his suffering. How can you do that if by becoming a Christian, there is no suffering? There is no hardship. There is no difficulty. What Paul is saying about our experiencing the suffering of Christ and knowing the suffering of Christ is that in what we face in this life, we learn to do it differently because we have Christ. We appreciate more what we have in Christ as not the absence of suffering, but in our suffering, we know we have a better way of dealing with suffering than what the world has a way of dealing with suffering. In fact, one of our greatest testimonies to the world is not the fact that we have the privilege as Christians to never suffer, but the fact that we have in our ability to suffer, we have the confidence that we have in Christ Jesus. That's one of the blessings that we have. And to know the suffering of Christ is to know the power that we have in dealing with suffering in the name of Jesus Christ, even if it cost us our life. And that gets us ready for an understanding of what Jesus went through in his death. The willingness of Jesus to die on the cross for us, the ultimate suffering. We get a little bitty sampling of what that suffering was like by what we have to suffer in this life and to do it in the name of Christ. Another thing that Paul is saying about knowing Christ is to share in the hope of his return. The blessing of knowing that Jesus is coming back and someday there is a better life waiting for us. There is a heavenly home with the Father. There is the opportunity to be with Jesus face to face, to finally see my Savior face to face and to be with him, to live in a better world that is free from suffering, from hardship, from tears, and so forth. All of that will be gone because of the blessing that we have in Christ. And to know that now, to live in that hope now, is one of the blessings we have in knowing Christ. Paul lived a very righteous life in his viewpoint at the time that he was Saul of Tarsus. He thought that he was righteous because he earned the right to be righteous by the law. By keeping the law, he was righteous, but he kept finding himself violating the law. No matter how righteous he wanted to be, he kept finding himself breaking the law in some point. And overall, he was faultless. But in reality, even he struggled while before he became a Christian. But as a Christian, he found himself being able to have the hope that it's not about how righteous he is by keeping the law. It is his righteousness in Christ Jesus. And because of that, he has the hope of eternal life with the Father. Another thing that he says that is the knowing Christ that we should have is having a passion for the mission of Jesus. Knowing that Jesus came in this world to save sinners. That Jesus came in this world to show the world what God looks like if you put him in the flesh. He came in this world to teach us about what it means to love each other and live in peace with one another. And to be the people who sow the seeds of peace in this world. We have learned so much about what Jesus was about. And in realizing that that was his mission, and it's our mission as well. That everything that Jesus started in coming into this world, he expects his church to continue. And having a passion for that, a purpose that says, this is why I'm here. And I want to see it done. I want to see it through. I want to do what Jesus started, and I want to continue it until he comes again. And that's part of knowing Jesus. This morning, I'm concerned that church has made it confusing about what it really means to know Jesus. That may be a strong statement, but I think in many ways what we've done with church is we've turned it into a substitute for knowing Jesus. We consider ourselves close to Jesus because we worship, because we come to a building and we do time together in worship of Jesus Christ. And maybe we read our Bibles some, and maybe we memorize some scripture, and maybe we sing some songs and we pray some prayers. But I think church in many ways has, for many people, been a substitute for really knowing Jesus. Paul said, everything about this world has become garbage to me in comparison to knowing Jesus. I don't know how many of us can really say that. We're so attached to the things of this world. It's so important for us to have this world that I'm not sure that we really understand what it means to know Jesus. And I'm not sure that we're courageous enough really to say, hey, everything about this world I consider garbage compared to knowing Jesus. Because what we mean by knowing Jesus is usually summed up in what we do in the thing called church. One thing I think COVID has done for us, it's been a wake-up call to the church to say, church, do you really know Jesus? Do you really know him? Do you know the power of the resurrection? Do you share in his suffering? Do you really understand the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? Do you really understand his mission and passionately want to be a part of it? Or are we just going through the motions as church? And church has become a substitute for really knowing Jesus. In a few moments, we're going to take communion. Don't let it just be a ritual. Don't let it be just an eating of a little bit of bread and drinking some juice. Make it part of knowing Jesus. Make it part of really, really asking yourself, do I really know Jesus? Have I really dug into the Word? Do I really spend time in prayer with him? Do I really understand how to live my life in suffering to where I do it in the name of Christ? Do I really, really have hope in his coming back? Do I look forward to his return? Do I really believe in heaven on the other side of it? Do you really know Jesus? When you eat the bread, you're acknowledging that Jesus really came in the body, in the flesh. Do you know him? When you drink of the cup, you're acknowledging that Jesus really shed his blood on the cross for my sins, and I am forgiven not by anything that I do, but by the blood of Jesus, the grace that was poured out for me at the cross. Do you really know him? Make the Lord's Supper a time to commit yourself to know him better. Because no matter how well you know Jesus, you need to know him better. That's why he called us. This world will look differently to us if we really know Jesus. Doug, lead us in a song.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We gather together in your name. Father, we're here to acknowledge the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, the body that was broken. Father, we through faith, we believe that this happened. We believe in the body that was broken. We believe that he died, and we believe that he rose again for our salvation. And Father, we pray at this time that we will take this bread and that we will take it in a way that is pleasing in your sight. In your Son's name pray. Amen. Father, again, we come before you. We're so thankful for Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us. We're thankful that you love us and that Christ loves us and that we can someday share in that love in such a greater capacity than we are now. And Father, we look forward to that day. And Father, we're mindful of the blood that was shed for our forgiveness and our abilities to be able to go to heaven. In your son's name, pray. Amen.
Okay, let's sing one more song. We will do this way. Let's bring in all four parts. We'll bring the sopranos in last. And then once they're in, we'll sing it through one more time. Okay, just one more time. Love one another, for love is a
Thank you, Doug, for those songs. Thank you, David, for that lesson. Thank you for challenging us to grow in our relationship with God. I have one announcement that the basic needs are garage sale. We raised somewhere in the neighborhood of $5,000 in the last few days, so that's a great blessing for that ministry. Jacob Russell will be heading up moving stuff out of the family center this afternoon, the leftover things that were in there. And if you can help out, please see him. I have a quote from a 19th century writer. "Never let mistakes or wrong directions, of which every man falls into many, discourage you. There is precious instruction to be got by finding where we were wrong." Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we know that we fail you so many times. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your grace and mercy. But help us to look at our faults, our mistakes, and help us to seek you. Help us to learn lessons from our mistakes that we can become better servants of yours. May we seek you each day. May we strive to serve you. May we strive to draw closer to you in that relationship and in our relationship with Christ. May we be a strength to one another. May we be a guide to one another as we live our lives from day to day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for that precious gift that makes all things possible to live with you one day. We ask this through Christ. Amen.
Thank you again for being here with us this morning. Don't forget, as always, if you can, be checking out the church website as well as the church Facebook page. It gives you lots of up-to-date information on things that are going on. Lots of craziness between now and the end of the year with all the holidays and different activities that we have going on, so please try to stay in touch as best you can there. As we dismiss from here today, I will have a song playing, but what a great message we have to know that as we go out into this world, we need to let people know that we want to know Christ, and that's something that we live for each and every day of our lives. Have a great week, and we love you guys. Hope to see you tonight at 5 o'clock for classes.